Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Acotta back on The Fan. So, BT, we're talking a lot of Knicks, Sixers. We'll get to the Mets and the Yanks coming up in a little bit as well. And I got to tell you my story being out there yesterday for Dwight Gooden Day, and we'll talk about the fans and all that. But we've been talking a lot of Knicks, Sixers. So I'd like to welcome in our current boss. Still pay respect to our boss. Congratulations, Ryan Hurley. Yeah, that's great. Spike Eskin is still the man in charge for now, and I'm not letting go until I have to. So, Spike, I don't know if you heard this. I know you've been busy today welcoming Ryan in and all that stuff. BT, you want to tell Spike what you just said about the Sixers before?
Well, I think he knows because I think I've said it on the air a couple of times that, you know, what Knicks and six? What did I say?
He's basically dismissing. I'm saying I don't want the Sixers in the first round.
You shouldn't.
BT says, he's guaranteeing victory.
Well, whatever. I mean, the thing is, if Embiid had played 65 games, the Sixers would have won 55 games. They would have been the clear two seed. I respect the hell out of Jalen Brunson, and the Knicks have certainly outperformed what anyone expected this year. But we have seen this before. Like, the idea of a team that tries harder than everybody else during the regular season with a small guard who scores a bunch of points and then can't get it done in the playoffs happens all the time. Jalen Brunson is 6 feet tall. He is the only offensive threat on the entire team. There is no possible way that a team like that, assuming health, and look, if Embiid gets hurt, whatever, they could certainly win. They will be a tough out, but they are not of the class of a real contending team. They're not built like that.
Yeah.
They don't have any way to score besides Jalen Brunson. In the regular season, you've had a great time during the regular season beating your chest and having parades for regular season victories. And I'm so excited for you to have a basketball season that means something. When the expectation is championship and not just cute story, this is a completely different world.
See, here's the thing that I find interesting.
Yeah.
And Embiid is amazing, and the Sixers are tough, and I'm not taking him for granted. But you talked about... Well, all right,
you
whatever.
Said you were going to beat him. What do you mean not taking him for granted?
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean I'm disrespectful. I just think the Knicks are slightly better, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But Spike, you talk about these teams... These Sixers, like, you still got Andrew Toney and, Dr. J. Dude,
I'm completely realistic. I'm completely realistic. The real thing is they have not performed. But also the real thing is that we're all in the same boat now with expectations. And the thing that Knicks fans keep doing is you guys just have this happy-to-be-here energy.
No.
And that's not what the playoffs are for.
The opposite. No, but Spike, hold on a second. The happy-to-be-here energy would be, well, you know, if we lose a tough seven-game series to the Sixers, I'm cool because they're not really a conventional seven seed. This is the exact opposite.
Well, what does the feel, Spike? From
I'm saying they're going to win.
From the Sixers fan base, what is the feel when they think about facing the Knicks in the first round?
Oh, I think everybody, the Knicks beat them pretty badly during the regular season this year. I think everybody knows it would be a tough out.
Okay.
For sure, a tough out. This is not easy or anything. I don't think anybody thinks that's what it is. But the truth is, when you start doing the math, who on the Knicks is adding up to 110 points every game against against this team? It just doesn't. It doesn't add up.
DiVincenzo, Anunoby.
Okay, have fun.
Now, and you hate Randall, so you think this is more dangerous without Randall?
I think they're better without Randall.
So do I. Wow. Yeah. I agree with you.
You guys are both wrong.
BT and I agree. That guy bricking three pointers and putting his head into.
Phil's in the Bronx. Phil.
Oh no.
Uh oh.
Okay, real quick. Good morning, gents. Do we not remember Allen Iverson taking his team to the finals as the only scoring threat with Dikembe Mutombo as his rim enforcer?
Right, that is your one example in the last 50 years, and they also lost, and Allen Iverson is way better than Jalen Brunson. So they got routed in the finals. They lost 4-1. They weren't even close when they played a real team, and they didn't play real teams getting up to there. They beat Milwaukee, who was not
was that,
that
like
good.
Spike? Was that Big Dog Robinson?
Okay, touché,
and those guys?
But do the Knicks not have a better supporting cast than Iverson?
100% they do.
Hold on,
not even close.
With role players and guys that can score.
No doubt about it.
Okay, so Dikembe Mutombo is better than any second player on the Knicks right now.
Keep going down the list.
But that's the truth. Again, big boy
time.
I got you. Big boy time. Top of the roster.
Okay, keep going.
So, but if your one example is...
Was it Eric Snow?
Is 25 years ago, one time over the last 50 years, then yes, I guess it could happen. And you know what? I could make the finals too, I guess, because there's nothing ruling me out from making the finals. It happened one time. If I was going to bet on something happening, I wouldn't bet on something that happened one time in 50 years.
And you think the Sixers are going this year?
I am hopeful that they can. I believe that they have the ability to.
You said this is the year.
Yes,
hopeful
this is
or
the year.
Well, definitive? This is the year.
I think they I think they would beat Milwaukee. I think they would beat the Knicks. I think they would beat the Cavs. I think they would beat the Magic. I think they would beat Indiana.
You're take your chances with the Celtics.
Boston,
basically.
I will take my chances. However, that team relies too much on jump shots, doesn't go to the rim enough, and you go cold for two or three games, and that happened last year to them. They just shot zero free throws in a game against the Bucks. I will take my chances
with Boston. Spike, you left out one really important team, the team that you're playing, Miami. How about you beat them first?
Whoa, okay. Man. Well, you guys went into that series last year with your chefs all puffed out about
I'm
how
not talking
the
about last year.
Oh, well.
I'm not talking about last year. We didn't have OG.
I am not worried about the Miami Heat.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, this is a good way to do it. I want Spike to do this. So anytime there's a series that's close.
You want Sal out of this.
No. I just want you in it.
Yeah, well, now we've got Guy Ryan in here. They're already trying to wedge me out. No.
Stop.
Spike is leaving me here by myself. I can't believe this. You got Hurley and he was BT's producer. I'm by myself. How dare you leave me?
By the way, thankful, I think, for all of our health. For me not to be in the building for the next couple of weeks. Somebody would have died.
Do you have an official? I thought we were going to be here maybe for the series. Do we know that?
Here and then, but here and there.
I want a Spike versus BT back.
Well, listen, I'm down.
I can do that.
I'm down for it. I'm down.
Talking, baby.
Okay,
like
hold
this.
On
okay.
a second. Right. I already have at least one side. Now you can come up with something for me.
Okay.
I know one thing that I'll bet, and I don't think that the fans in Philly know this, but we do because we've been in the office many times. In Spike's old office is a picture of John Starks.
Yeah,
yes.
They know.
Oh, they do? Yeah, okay, they know. So
yeah.
I would like to, and then you can do it off the air, whatever. Maybe if I win, I get that or, whatever.
My wife gave me that.
Well, then that's out. I didn't know that. Yeah. That doesn't count. There's
definitely some embarrassment
not, no
here. I mean,
well,
come on. Like, show
well, the embarrassment is that he's a devout Sixers fan. He's got a picture of John Starks in his office.
He grew up a Knicks fan.
Well, you could have fooled me.
I want to see Spike in full headgear taping one of those Ricky Sanchez podcasts or whatever it's called. And BT, your ass is going to be an Embiid or Iverson jersey if the Knicks lose.
And what are you going to do?
I'm just going to monitor. I'll be the league. Hey, I think the Sixers are going to win the series. I don't want any part of the Sixers. I've said that. I want Miami. I don't want the Sixers.
But Spike, I was going to do this real quick because I used to do this with Tiki a lot, like in an NFL game or more so with the NBA. It works more with the NBA. I'm not even going to interject. In your opinion, list the orders of... If it's Knicks and Sixers, like the best players, say 1 through 6 in order in a series if it comes to this. So number one is obviously Embiid. Number two for you would be what? Or who?
Number two would be Brunson.
Okay. Number three would be?
Tyrese Maxey.
I got you. Number four would be?
Probably Anunoby.
Okay, so it's 2-2. Number five would be? Let's go to seven, because this is interesting.
Can I even name another Sixer outside of those two?
But you got a couple good ones.
I guess my point after this is that after the top two guys on every team, then it's just about the rest of the guys fitting around those guys. It's not about who is better. I don't care who's going to win one-on-one.
No, me neither.
Mitchell Robinson or Nick Batum. It doesn't matter.
That's a good point. I mean more like immersed in what they're doing. That's how I usually answer it as well. So you got Embiid, you got Brunson, you've got Maxey, and I would put Maxey third myself without any hesitation. I'd put OG four. What are you doing five, six, and seven?
I don't think it matters.
No, but
Who cares?
I do, because when you get to depth, I think it does matter.
The Sixers have plenty of players.
Watch out for DiVincenzo.
So do the Knicks. So hold on a second. If they have plenty of players, who's the next best one?
But
who is it?
It doesn't matter.
Who cares? But it matters to me.
What are you trying to prove by
that
by
you're wrong?
Who the fifth? No. It is one team versus another team. Whether the Knicks have the fifth best player in the series or the sixth best player in the series does not matter. It doesn't matter. Just like, look, one guy who you're going to throw in my face is Mitchell Robinson, who will be a liability in the playoffs.
I'm not a massive believer. I actually think that Hartenstein's better. I don't know if he's better in this particular matchup because of Embiid's size.
If Mitch is on the floor, they're going to foul him. If he's on there trying to stop Embiid late in the game, they're going to foul Mitch. It's a liability.
See, you'll say something like, well, DiVincenzo, and all I'll say back to you is, like, the way that Nick Batum plays, the way that Kyle Lowry plays, is important for the Sixers
100%.
Around Joel Embiid. So
100%.
So it doesn't matter to me who the fifth.
You think Embiid's 100% healthy?
You don't like my exercise.
No. He's not 100% healthy.
No, but I don't think anybody on the Knicks is either.
Well,
you know,
Jalen.
Okay,
because he's had this hand taped for 2 years.
No, have you watched a lot of Nick games this year?
Not one
right?
second.
Okay, so. So I've watched.
Tom, you're hired.
I've watched Tom Thibodeau do this year after year after year. Uh-huh. You watch those games, and Jalen Brunson, the amount of effort and energy he has to put into every single game this entire season, there is no possible way that that guy isn't feeling it at this point. It happens all the time. Every player who's, especially a guard or a wing player, when the entire offense is based around him like that, they get to the playoffs, and it just doesn't continue to work. Luka has had the same problem. James Harden had the same problem. And you're talking about guys, Dame Lillard has had the same problem. And you're talking about three guys, when I mentioned those guys, who are all better passers than Jalen Brunson is.
But they're not in as good a shape as Jalen. And that's it. Luka's a little bit overweight. Harden's always been a little overweight. Now, I got no problem with Lillard. And I do think that outside of McCollum, that Brunson has a better supporting cast. Listen, there's really no way to grade this out. I guess...
I am curious though, Spike. If
Joel Embiid, when he is playing, is the best player on the planet.
But Sal, hold on, Sal, pardon me, one sec. Here's my problem with what Spike's doing, right? He thinks Philly's better. I respect that. They might be. All right, I think the Knicks would win a tough, deep series, but I could be wrong. I don't feel like he's giving the Knicks any
respect. Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think...
Would be a tough out.
No, but what if it weren't the Sixers? Knicks Heat, let's say.
I would be the same thing. Oh, wait, are you telling me if the Heat had the personnel of the Knicks? Is that what you're saying?
No. If it were Knicks versus the Heat instead of the Sixers, or just the Knicks in general, outside of the Sixers, Knicks in the Eastern Conference.
I would pick the Knicks over everyone in the conference aside from Boston. And probably, like, if Milwaukee was healthy, I'd pick Milwaukee. But aside from that, I'd pick the Knicks after any other. Like, I just believe very clearly that the Sixers' record, they won 47 games while missing 9 weeks of Joel Embiid. There's no way they don't win 55 or 56 games if he plays his normal 65 games.
They should be the two seed.
If they win 55 or 56 games, they have the second best record in the conference. They probably have the second best point differential in the conference. They were 31-8 when Embiid plays this year. 31-8. Again, the Knicks are good. I just don't think at health they are at the same level the Sixers are.
Agreed, and that's why BT don't want this matchup.
I don't agree.
You should have lost that game. You should have lost that game. You should have lost that game yesterday.
Oh, come on. And I'm the tanking.
We don't play.
What was that, a Philly thing? Lose it on purpose?
Should have lost that game.
Get out of here. All right, Spike. Thank you very much. And seriously, when is your last day? Because, I got to get ready for a life without you.
He's got to put on the lipstick, keep pissing the ass.
Wow.
When is your last day? We are going to miss you. In all sincerity. When is it?
I'll be here tomorrow morning, be here Wednesday morning, and then I'll be here Wednesday mornings up until Boomer and Gio Live. So you'll see me in the office. I'm here all day, but then... But I'm going to stop you know, making, I'll act like I don't know you guys after 5 o'clock today.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, dude.
Well, believe this. If the Knicks do face the Sixers.
Oh, I know.
It's going to get nasty. Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's going to get very nasty.
Going down, baby.
Forget about you guys. Everybody out in the newsroom, from yep. Manny Rodriguez to Gallo to Lou Gower, they all want to murder me.
Well, because you know why, Spike? Because you're unnecessarily arrogant with the Sixers.
Because
like, that's the problem.
Knicks fans are impossible.
Well, because
they are impossible. Impossible.
That's true.
They're very similar to the way that Eagles fans were pre-Super Bowl. They go from 0 to 60. You guys win one game, and amen. All of a sudden, there's parades down Broadway, and you lose one.
Bing bong!
It's the way you talk about Julius Randle is hilarious to me, because the minute he chokes in the playoffs, everybody wants to murder him, and then if you say he's a choker in the playoffs, everybody kills you. I have to have arguments about whether he's a top 20 player with Lou Gower and Gallo. They're crazy.
And he's a two-time All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
No, two-time All-NBA, Sal.
No,
big
sorry,
difference.
Sorry.
And,
thank you.
And all-time loser is what he is.
Oh, my God.
He is.
Oh, this
he's
guy.
A loser. No,
I wish Randall were here for this series, because that would be sweet.
Oh, man.
Knicks wiping the floor with the Sixers, although I have my reservations. All right, Spike.
All right, thanks, Spike. Fellas. Love you guys.
All right, BT, thanks, let's get back to the calls here. Hopefully people want to kill Spike.
I mean, how about this guy? Like, he talks like he's got Andrew Tony and Charles Barkley and Dr. J and Cunningham and all these cats and Mo Cheeks running out of the tunnel. Dude, you haven't won anything.
Yeah, but.
But what? But there is no but.
But Embiid's a legit. See, I don't. It's not just because Spike says it. You know what? Embiid's the MVP. I mean, you know how good he could be. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's now healthy, if he weren't healthy, it'd be a different story. If he were healthy, I do believe the Sixers are at least the second best team in the conference. And now the Knicks are going to have to face that team with a healthy Embiid. This should be a semifinals at the worst. And, you know, I dubbed them the semi Sixers. I'm actually worried about that coming back to haunt me here with them facing the Knicks in the first round.
I know. And I like to. Like the nickname. You know what bothers me about Embiid? And he's a fantastic player, but I feel like, and I'm just going to bring it back to the Knicks, like Ewing, the criticism with Patrick, and some of it was justified. He missed key free throws. He didn't have great hands. He wasn't a particularly great passer out of the post. I mean, he put up the numbers, but Patrick was far from perfect. You know, like an Olajuwon or a Robinson. He just had some basketball flaws, right? But he's our guy. He elevated the franchise, all-time great. And he was getting knocked by his late 20s. Like, dude, when are you going to win? And Embiid's 30 already. He hasn't even come close, maybe statistically, individually, but from a team perspective, to replicate what Patrick did with an inferior team. When is Embiid going to actually get knocked around in the court of public opinion instead of everybody kissing his ass? He's 30 years old. When are you going to do something?
Well, we'll see what happens here in this potentially first-round matchup. You're right. First, they got a play-in game to take care of against a dangerous Heat team. Bob is in Brewster. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Just real quick, I got to disagree with that guy Spike, man, when they're saying that they had no other scoring threats. Dante DiVincenzo has been, what, averaging over 20 points since Randall's been out of, you know, since Randall's been injured. You have Josh Hart that could pretty much drive the lane, score at will. McBride's been on fire, hitting threes. I mean, how could he say, I mean, Ananobi, when he's out, when he's playing, he could score. How could he sit there and say that there's no other scoring threat outside of Brunson? Now, granted, you don't have five or six players on a team that are like Brunson, but if Brunson's getting double teamed, he's either driving a lane and kicking it out, fighting the open man. Who can score? I mean, I can't even go all the way down to Bogdanovic. When he's open, he can hit the three.
Yes, he can.
Thank you for the call, Bob. BT, go ahead, because that was kind of your point before.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that there's the team and the like the conventional powerhouse, all the great NBA titans, and you know all the names that over history. I don't need to recite them, but like the teams that had two or three all timers, like the Lakers with Magic and the Celtics with Bird. Now I'll just stop there. Those kind of teams, and then there's teams like the Knicks who are almost, you know, counter-conventional, where they've got a smallish superstar. They've got a bunch of shooters. But you see, the Knicks have transformed from not only a horrendous team and a horrendous franchise, but to a really good team that has embraced the modern way of playing basketball with four out. Shooters everywhere, snipers. I mean, so they're unselfish. They could all shoot. Now, could the Knicks have, you know, a 10 or 11, 12-day, whatever the length of the series would be, where they're just inefficient? Sure, it's basketball. And even during the course of this season, they've had a couple of games in a row where collectively they haven't shot the rock well. I'm not saying that they're immune to it, But like what the Knicks do well is transferable. And that's why, and it's not arrogance. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to win the championship. But outside of the Celtics, I would pick them, and I'd have to see, you know, Giannis, if he's banged up. I'd pick them to win every series because they're going to shoot in April. They're going to shoot in May. They're going to shoot in June. And they've got depth, and they're well-coached, and they play D. And they play a couple different versions of basketball, like I told Sal before. You want to play 125-120? Let's go. Let's get up and down the court. Lace them up tight, guys. We're going up and down fast. You want to take the air out a little bit, play more like the 90s? We could do that as well, because we have two big centers with 12 fouls, and Josh Hart's tough as nails, and Brunson's tough, and everybody that plays is tough and well-principled. So it's not arrogance. It's understanding that this Knicks team is not only really overachieved based on the circumstances, but it's so unfair to put a ceiling on them. And that's all I'm doing. And then you got our guy Spike coming on the air saying, like, minimizing them, marginalizing them. And I think that that's so unfair, but that's okay. People can say what they want about the Knicks. Those of us who watched them this year from game one until yesterday, we know it's time to go. Let's go. Let's go.
BT and Sal on the fan. More your calls on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, I got to punch up my computer here. Spike, beat the Heat first. Don't worry about the Knicks. Beat the Heat. Sal's too worried about telling Spike.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How much are you going to miss him? I mean,
I love Spike. Yeah.
So why? But geez, how many times are you going to say it?
I mean, you know, until he leaves, I guess. Even when he's gone. Depends how the new guy does.
That's true.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mike Piazza has now hit more home runs than any catcher in the history of Major League Baseball.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. So, BT, before we get back to these calls here, I know we're doing a lot of Knicks. And by the way, in case you missed anything so far, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I was out there yesterday, took my daughter, my wife, my mother out to see the Doc have his number 16 retired. Now, what was your... Did you watch it, or you said you were listening to it on the way?
I tell you what, it was almost more, you know, every time I use the word poignant, Boomer and Gio just harpooned me for using it, so it's probably a little hyperbolic, but it was almost more poignant hearing it on the radio. It had a real... Which I was. I was in the car coming back from a baseball tournament. Mm-hmm. It sounded really... really genuine. The story that now, listen, every time he mentioned the Yankees and the World Series, everybody started booing. Sorry that the Yankees had to crash the Mets party a little bit yesterday. But I like the story. I love Doc's rawness and his humility. I was hoping he would speak a little bit more. Quite frankly, it was a little fast for my taste.
Right.
I wanted to hear more of his journey. But I think he was getting a little emotionally wrapped up in it. I think he was afraid he was going to break down. And what I couldn't wait to see, because I heard it, but I didn't see it, was the actual video montage, which was awesome, which I saw when I got home last night on social media. Mets did a good job. You know, it sucked with the rain. I thought it could have been longer, but you were there. You talked to me.
So that might have been – I did feel that Doc went short, and I think it was because of the rain. I'm not 100% certain, but the rain started to really pick up as he was speaking. Now, it wasn't like pouring, and I sat there and I really didn't care. You know, my wife's like, oh, we got to go for cover with the baby. I'm like, come on, they're about to unveil the number. Like, now's not the time. Suck it up. It's a little rain. Yeah. And it wasn't even that cold, but whatever. But I do think that Doc was – maybe trying to keep it quick. But the thing that I loved about it was that he had a point, and he also didn't go up there with one of these speeches and reading from the prepared statements. I can't stand that.
Yes.
Doc went out there, spoke from the heart, and his point was to the Met fans, I never wanted to leave you. And because he was going through his whole career, like, I tried to come back to the Mets, but then the Yankees go, whatever, I tried to come back to the Mets. They said no, and then I went to Cleveland. I tried to come back to the Mets. And the Mets at every turn said no, and that's their own reasons. But Doc was telling you that whatever their reasons were fine, but just know that I always wanted to be a Met and yes. always wanted to end up here. And now he had that come to the close at the right time when he's mentally healthy, physically healthy. I thought he sounded great. I thought he looked terrific. I thought he nailed it. I mean, I thought Doc nailed the speech. It was short, yes, but I thought it was beautiful.
So did I. And it was. Listen, that was his way of getting a little closure because –
right.
Every time he spoke about this leading up, once it was announced that the Mets would retire his number, and speaking of that, great to see Darryl healthy enough to get out there, support his guy, and that's the other stuff I look for, like, when the other players are back, whether it's Mookie, of course, Keith and Ronnie are there, mm-hmm. going to be there, but Tim Tuffle was there, and Hojo made his appearance.
How about Gary Carter's wife was there?
Yes, you know, I know Barry Lyons, the other catcher, didn't catch very often. Was there, but Gary's wife was, it's a beautiful thing. Even the bullpen duo, righty, Orozco and McDowell, it was done really well. Again, I hated that it rained. I hated that it was a little truncated and condensed there, but out of necessity, Doc probably kept it short. But I think he needed this even more from a baseball recognition perspective. He needed to cross this bridge of healing because the Met fan means so much to him. And deep down, he's probably, and understandably so, never been able to reconcile how he ruined what could have been better and longer. And I thought it was awesome. I loved White.
Right. Kid. I think you're exactly right, where he probably feels guilt to a certain extent for his, you know, wrongdoings or issues that he had, which hurt the Met fan. And now that should be put to rest as his number's up there forever. And for me, it's special, BT. I've never been to a number retirement. I tried to go to the Piazza thing, but something happened where I couldn't go. That was the only other one that I've ever even thought about going to. Now, obviously, the Mets haven't done it often, but the Piazza one would be the one that I would have wanted to be at. Keith is great, whatever. It just wasn't, he wasn't my guy. I needed to be there for this. And when you go there with your kids or you go there with your parents, whatever it may be, and you see them unveil that number, that to me is special because that number isn't going anywhere. It's always going to be there. 20 years down the road, if my daughter does want to go to a game one day, she could look up at that 16 and say, you know what, I was there. I have pictures. You may not remember because she's three, mm-hmm. but I have pictures of being there with my dad. So it was a special day as far as that goes. And did you see the number of people who went?
I think the number was 32,000.
Yeah. And your thoughts on that?
You know what? I have no problem getting into that. I almost don't want to do that here. I do know that it's a theme for the Mets so far this year.
Well, for me, as somebody...
I was disappointed. I mean, I'm not going to duck that, but I don't want to even, you know, because it almost takes away from what really mattered. I don't know how the place isn't sold out. I don't get
it. Well, what I'll tell you, as somebody who was there, it had a big game feel to it. Okay, I was there early, and the lines were every which way possible to get in before the gates open. Okay. That's the feel of a big game. There was no, it wasn't a giveaway. It was there. Everybody. So I guess my point is that the people who went, it mattered to them.
Yes.
Like, it was a big deal. It wasn't just like, oh, let's go and check it out. There were a lot of people who this mattered big time too, that made sure they got there early, didn't miss a second of it, were in their seats. And all right, if that's only 30 plus thousand, whatever it may be, so be it. But it felt big to me. It didn't feel like, I never once, as I was sitting there watching the entire ceremony, felt like, or even going into the park, felt like this doesn't feel like a big game or a special event.
And you guys got a big win. You won another series there.
Well, let me tell you about that. I did not see a pitch.
What?
I mean, I went home and watched it.
No, you didn't leave after.
It was a 40-minute rain delay.
Did you?
I went to the game. I saw the ceremony. I was going to watch a couple innings before I had, oh, my God, stuff to do. And then, you know, the rain starts, and I'm like, all right, well, what time's first pitch? And they said it was going to be 2:20. I was like, all right, we're out of here. I mean, that's it. I got the 3-year-old. My wife is saying, you know, let's go. My mother's tired of walking up the stairs. And quite frankly, I was like, I'm not going to be sitting in traffic. I'm not waiting around 40 minutes for first pitch when I want to watch a couple innings anyway.
No, no, wait. What do you mean walking up the stairs? They got escalators. What
no,
mean,
well,
stairs?
The stairs to the seat. You got to go down to the seat,
oh,
up
I
the
see
stairs,
you got
back
you.
Up.
You mean, we're okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So that was a little bit much. But yeah, I mean, look, am I proud of that fact? No, but it's the reality. I was going to stay for, I told you the other day, I was like, I'm not really going to stay for most of the, I did want to stay for a couple innings. It was rain delay, 40 minutes.
He did tell me that. In full disclosure, Sal told me that off the air the other day, like, you know, just moved into the new home, yeah. And now he's in Jersey, and his 3-year-old daughter's going, his mom, it's a, you know, it's his wife, obviously, it's a different, you're rolling in with a different crew, so it's a different set of circumstances, but not even a pitch.
What's a 40-minute rain delay? What not am I even
your,
to do?
Not even your boy Lindor's first at-bat so you can stand up and cheer?
Now
come
you
on.
Nailed it. Now you nailed it. That's exactly what I wanted to see. So I was going, my plan was to sit there and at least see Lindor, at the very least, see Lindor's first at bat because I wanted to purposely stand and cheer. The rain came! I'm supposed to sit another hour on top of that to wait? Sorry, I'll go catch it at home. I was home by the third inning, good to go. I got some stuff done around the house, everybody was happy. I know, I'm not proud, but it is what, hey, I want to see the doc get honored. And I saw that.
So I got you. I got you.
It was fun. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 877-337-6666. Kevin is in Ocean City, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, Doc, it was very well done with Doc and everything. And Doc had nothing to feel guilty about because no matter where he was, real Mets fan, he was always a Met. I don't care where he was. So
It was funny though, Kevin, when he brought up the Yankees, the sheer mention, the crowd went nuts, and Doc is like, hey, I told you, I'm a Met.
I'm a Met.
Yeah, yeah. He was always a Met. So that didn't even matter. I mean, that's Doc. Some Mets will, no matter where they are, they're Mets. So, but I understand. But he felt he had to say that. But that was good. That was good. And getting back to the basketball, the Knicks can beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
And the reason they can beat the Sixers is because they play good defense, and you slow and B's not the main one. The main one is Maxey. You slow Maxey down, and that's a whole different team. And another thing, you collapse on Embiid, and Embiid tends to panic, and he'll throw the ball away, and he does that all the time. So you slow Maxey down, you can beat them.
Well, I mean, Maxey to me is a massive issue. I mean, he's a terrific player, and I think you overstate Embiid's inability to find the open man, maybe a little more. I mean, you know, and don't tweet me like turnover per game. Like the guy, he's not all discombobulated when they run a second guy at him because he's used to it. Now, if Maxey is, let me put it this way, I think the Knicks will win the series. If the Sixers even get there, you got to beat Miami first. Don't forget, if Maxey is clearly the second best player on the court, third best player on the court in the series, like without anything to debate, like by a mile, then I think the Knicks will lose. There's got to be a game or two where whether DiVincenzo pops in 25 or, you know, OG one or two where he does his thing, it can't be Embiid and Maxey full force and nobody stepping up consistently for the Knicks in that two role. And if they do, you know, if that happens, Knicks are in trouble.
Yeah, and that's why I think the Knicks could be in trouble if they do face the Sixers, because Embiid and Maxey are better than Brunson and whoever you want to throw in there. Anunoby, DiVincenzo. I like the Knicks as a team. Maybe they have more depth. But the postseason, to Spike's point before, top heavy. And even though Brunson could put in, you know, 40 a night, whatever it may be, is that enough to offset Embiid and Maxey? And yeah, I'm not so sure that it is.
Yeah, but hold on. I don't think the Knicks are top heavy. I think that they probably have the best roster in the NBA.
No, the Sixers are.
Pardon me. I got you.
And I think that works better in the postseason. Although we'll see, because that would, to me, the Knicks have much more depth and more balance than the Sixers. And forget about even just the Sixers. In general, BT, the Knicks are going to have that one star, but the Sixers have two with Embiid and Maxey. And
well, you put Maxey up there? I mean, you think what? Maxey's a top, what, 15, 16 player in the NBA?
No, but he's the second best player by far in the series outside of, you know, Embiid and Brunson.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I would agree. Like, the drop-off from Embiid to Brunson may not be that significant. The drop-off from Brunson to Maxey, you know, whatever. But then from Maxey to Anunoby, to me, is significant.
where the Sixers have a clear advantage with the top two.
Yep.
Where the Knicks,
I agree with that.
I love Brooklyn, and that to me would be the danger zone in this series.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment, and then that's why I like it a little deeper.
Yep.
And generally, Sal, I'm with you. I prefer the two superstars, the two most identifiable stars in any series in the NBA. I think that's always been a proven recipe. Maybe I'm a little bit too wrapped up in this this emotion around the Knicks because they've given us something that we never saw coming once Randall went down. But I really believe that this is real in the sense that what they do great is transferable. And if it's not, they'll be done fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. Still a lot of stuff that we got to get to here, BT. One thing before we get back to the Knicks calls, we've been talking a lot of Knicks so far. Anything you missed, check it out on the free Odyssey app. One thing that I saw over the weekend, aside from the Yankees dominating, I know they didn't sweep again. It's frustrating, but still. I mean, the Yankees right now are rolling right along, looking like a terrific team. Now, you remember, BT, off of their loss to the Marlins, where you and I had the conversation, I was annoyed with Soto for looking for a walk in that spot.
Yep.
In the ninth inning.
Yep.
Okay. Now, by the way, that got hijacked as well. I never said Soto was always looking for walks and doesn't get a ton in the big spot. Like, obviously, one of the reasons why I love Juan Soto is because of what he did in the postseason in 2019. I think he could do that again for the Yankees. However, in that particular game, at that particular time, I thought Soto needed to do some damage. Here was Soto after doing damage in game two of that. Was it game one of the doubleheader? It might have been game one. Whatever it was. It was Saturday's.
I think it was game two. You talking about when he dropped out a bunt?
No, when he hit the three-run homer, I believe. So it might have been after game one. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was from Saturday. Post-game comments from Juan Soto on Saturday. This is courtesy of the YES Network. Go ahead, Hoff.
This team made Tristan McKenzie work tonight. How were you able to get to him in that fourth inning?
I mean, since the first batter, we really grind every at-bat. We take good chances today. We take our pitches. We take walks. We put in the ropes in the first inning. I think we did a great job as a team, and that's what it takes us to take him out of the game early.
How much of an influence do you feel like you've had on this offense as a whole?
I don't know. I've just tried to do my job. Literally, I'm here just to get on and let Josh do his thing. Whenever I can do damage, I'm going to try to do it. But it's a whole team work. We got to do it little by little. We got to do it as a team.
Now, I saw that. And to me, now I'm not saying he responded to the exact thing that I said.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty damn close to what we were talking about right there. And Soto said, literally, my job is to get on base and hand it to Judge. And I'm here to say, literally, it's not. Walks are okay in certain situations. And by the way, the Yankees are better built for that because if you're going to walk in front of somebody, who better than Aaron Judge? But, dude, his job is not to walk. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, his job is to generate runs. And he's not going to deviate from what made him Juan Soto. I don't know what to tell you. The Marlins at bat the other night, if you go back and you probably saw, I'm sure people hit you up with this. And I pushed back big time. I had no issue. I understood what you were saying, but I had no issue specific to the at bat against the Marlins.
Right.
When there was one pitch that maybe he could have swung at. I mean, everything was out of the zone, and the ones that were even remotely near the zone were outside and up, and you can't do a ton with that except, you know, flick it to left
right,
field.
Early in the at-bat, he had a pitch or two that he could have hit. Would have been going out of his zone, sure, but I wanted Soto to do damage in that spot. It's not a knock on him saying he's a terrible player.
I know
he's always
it wasn't.
Avoiding a situation, a clutch situation. No, no, no. In that particular spot, if you're watching that game as a Yankee fan, your best shot is with Juan Soto to do damage there. And he looked a little too happy to me to be passive and walk and hand the baton to Judge, and now follows it up with saying, literally, my job is to get on for Judge. Well, that wouldn't work with the Mets. They're just not built that way. And I want to see more from – you don't get $500 million or $600 million to look for walks in big spots.
But you do get $500 million if you drive at 152 runs, which, by the way, he's on pace for, which, by the way, I know he will not get 152 RBIs. He's not going to threaten like Hack Wilson or Juan Gonzalez's all-time mark. But he has done absolutely everything and then some to elevate the Yankees – The situation, think about this, and this, we had this discussion as well. Mm-hmm. So when Judge hits a home run yesterday, 3-run bomb. And
he looked good, by the way. Good to see Judge looking like himself again.
Yeah, Judge is starting to round into form after getting some of that rust. Who knows how banged up he was or how reluctant he was to actually let it rip because of that oblique, whatever, the abdomen, whatever it was. I think that sequence that you saw, Volpe, who, by the way, is hitting 400.
Stud.
Oh, my God. He looks better in the field this year, too.
Three of the best players in the entire sport.
There's no doubt. And Volpe, one of his three hits, boom, smashes one. He's on first base. Bang, Soto with obviously more of a hole between first and second, holding on the runner. You know, rips a double down there, down right field. So there's two on, and then Judge goes yard, and it's three zip before you blink here. And there's going to be times, I'm already prepared for it. There's going to be times when Sal and maybe some other Yankee fans are going to voice a level of frustration. Come on, dude, swing the bat. You want freaking Soto. You're not going to hear that from me. Unless he's letting fastballs, 93 mile per hour, room service, batting practice, fastball, meatballs over the heart of the plate go by and the bat's on his shoulder, which, by the way, will never happen. I will have zero issue with Juan Soto.
Right.
Because, I was going to say, everything that the Yankees lacked a year ago, energy, left-handed thump, the ability to keep moving and hand the baton to the next guy, the Yankees are going to bludgeon people this year.
Yeah, that's fine, and I think that they will too. However, there are certain spots he's going to need to produce, and I don't mean walking. And just for those people, because I think this is where the pushback is, where people love walks a lot more than I do. Well, what if Aaron Judge walked in that spot the other night? I'm talking about with the bases loaded. Soto walks, Judge is up. If he walks, is that a good thing?
Well,
he walks and scores a run. Is that a good thing?
Well, no, I say.
But that's the whole philosophy don't swing at pitches out of the zone. Oh, no, no, yeah, walk is a great thing. Yeah. Okay, well, I would have walked Judge intentionally with the bases loaded to force the run in to face Jones. I would have done that. And the manager didn't, of course, Schumacher. Judge ended up flying out. They lose the game. Whatever, it's one game. But the point is, I'd rather see, if I'm the opponent, Soto walk and Judge walk, and then go after the other guys.
Well, then that's where Rizzo's going to have to wake up, and Gleyber Torres is going to have to wake up, and Stanton, who has woken up when he plays, is going to have to do damage.
And then your season's down to those guys, as opposed to Judge and Soto.
Yeah, but Sal, there's a fine line of criticism here that you're missing. As a big, big premise, I hear you. Yeah, he gets paid to swing the bat. When you get nothing to hit, I would much prefer that you just you stay in your process.
He had a pitch to hit.
He had one. You are really overstating what he had. I'm going to send you. Did you see the screenshot? Because now you're hijacking it. He
no,
got
I'm not
one
hijacking
pitch.
It.
You are.
One pitch is all it takes sometimes.
What's that?
One pitch is all it takes.
Understood.
Okay.
No, I got that.
So that's it. I'm not knocking Soto and say he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not saying he should have gone out of his way to swing at a ball in the dirt. I mean, I know a few of those pitches weren't even close. However, he was being uber patient, which is something he always does. In that spot, I wanted to see a little aggression.
No, I get the aggression, but I think what you're overlooking here is the one pitch, and we could even quibble if that was a great pitch, but I'll give it to you. It was in the zone, and okay.
How many times did he swing the bat? Any at bat?
Yep, Sal, hold on, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's sometimes where it might cross the zone and be called the strike, but you're looking for a different pitch.
Understood.
It's baseball.
I get that. That's fine. All I'm saying is if he walked and then Judge walked, you're leaving it now. If they walk every time, then they're not hitting any home runs. Then they're not driving any runs in. So there's no way anybody could tell me that a walk is, in fact, as good as a hit.
I could.
And when I see it's not.
I could.
It's impossible.
But I could.
So then have Soto walk every single time and see how that works out for you.
So if Juan Soto walks.
Then why do we look at batting average? Why do we look at OPS?
Well, people don't.
OPS. You love OPS.
I love OPS.
Home runs, RBIs.
Yeah, but no. Oh, Sal, OPS is not RBIs. Yeah. OPS literally is one half of how often you get on base.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I get it. So let's just say Juan Soto walked 697 times this year. Mm-hmm. Literally every single time. Every plate appearance. You don't think the Yankees score 1,000 runs?
No, I don't.
They
I don't think the guys behind him are good enough.
They do. And not only do they do that, but if he's walking often, you are forcing the pitchers to throw more. You're getting into the bullpen. Listen, we see it fundamentally different. I will take my chances with taxing out the starter, getting to the middle relief, and just going and just going from
right.
There.
But BT, that's different than in the ninth inning with two guys on. There are two guys you want up if you're the Yankees in that spot, and if you're the opponent, there are two guys you don't want to face. That's Soto and Judge. So if you walk those guys in that spot, that is a win for the opponent, not the Yankees.
Okay, that's fine. Now do that
that's
every.
All I'm saying.
No, I know what you're saying, but now do that every game and see how often you actually win.
No, we'll see.
Well, I mean,
we'll see what's going to happen in the postseason.
How many games I'm going to enjoy the regular season first. Right. And, let's get Gerrit Cole
back.
Well,
but the Yankees is not about the regular season.
No, I understand
that. You can enjoy
that,
it's about the postseason.
I got that. But we're in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we talked about in the winter, like what would Volpe do in year two? What would, what would Soto, how would he fit in?
It's all been perfect.
I mean, it has been unreal. Watching the Yankees is like... right now, with those two guys, and Judge is not even fully clicking. It's like watching the Beatles, dude. It is just...
No, I'm not a Beatles fan.
Well, I'm not either. I just said that for effect. I'm really not. I swear to God. I respect them.
I like them, but
a couple songs. I can name 20 bands. I'm not saying that have sold
no,
more
but
records.
I get it.
But,
Volpe, Soto, Judge. Look, there's no other way to say it. They're three of the best players in the sport. They're all on one team.
And I'm not even counting Volpe because I want to see more. But, first of all, Anthony Volpe... all right, did he really deserve the Gold Glove a year ago? Debatable, whatever.
No.
Okay, he's an even better fielder this year. Anthony Volpe, the Yankees, you got to get some other guys going. And, we'll see. Is this real with Stanton? Do the catchers start to hitch? Rivino's showing some signs here. Rizzo, his bat looks a little slow. Understood. Gleyber Torres, maybe unlike Alonso, who's starting to crank out bombs, and Soto, who's been the man in a contract year, maybe Gleyber Torres is having a rougher time compartmentalizing the emotional, burden and duress of playing baseball while trying to get paid.
He's been awful.
And maybe that manifests itself over the course of 162 in a bad way. I don't know. I'm not sitting here saying that Gleyber's going to absolutely unequivocally bounce back and bat 275. I don't know. I don't know what happens when DJ comes back. I don't know when Spencer Jones comes up in September. I don't know if Jason Dominguez is absolutely the real deal. What I do know is I trust Juan Soto more than I trust me and more than I trust you. So no matter what you say or no matter what I think, Juan Soto don't change.
No, fine.
That's it.
Right. But in a big spot, we're going to see if he's going to be, at some point, he's going to have to swing the bat in a big spot and drive in runs. That's all I'm saying. Or at least that's what I would want. And if I'm looking to sign Juan Soto in the offseason, that's going to be a big factor in whether I would give him $600 million or not. I want him to be the guy, not the guy who says, my job is to get on for Aaron Judge. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day, get into more of your calls. We're talking Knicks. We've talked some Mets, of course, and Yankees as well. But we started the show talking about the Knicks. We'll do that when we come back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.